Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
That's the sound of another sale on Shopify, in store. Shopify POS is everything you need to sell in person. From payments to inventory, Shopify unites your sales into one commerce platform. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/retail23. shopify.com/retail23.
I fed a fish to a pelican at Frisco Bay, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Arsenal gub Chelsea and Leicester are on the brink. It's Wednesday, 24th of April. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
And I'm Vidushan Hantaraja.
Oi, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble on this wonderful Wednesday. Thanks to friend of the Ramble, Patrick, for giving us that intro line.
Juggalo Patrick.
Yeah, I think we should rethink this whole thing, because if people are going to start taking the piss and using insane clown posse lyrics, the whole thing's backfired.
Mm. Well, everything should be open, shouldn't it?
Should, it should.
Yeah, it should be up to Juggalos church. Or anyone. Should Macrophilos.
You're going to you go to the Gathering of the Jugglers every year, don't you?
I do, yeah. Well, it's tied in their own wrestling setup, so yeah. I'd sort of get involved in
that. Did you grow up as a Slipknot fan?
I was more a Deftones.
Why are you associating Slipknot with Insane Clown Posse?
Yeah, I was going to say this.
Masks and makeup.
There's literally a clown in the band.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, true.
Mm. Big fan of Kiss, though.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
Right, did you have a Jansport bag that you'd write band's name in? Yes.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Draw the Fear Factory logo.
People used to do their band names on their bags.
Yeah, I completely forgot
about that. Mm,
yeah. Are you finished with that?
Yeah, sorry.
Great. Yeah.
I was only going to ask them about Pantera next. Anyway,
I mean, tickets to our live show are on sale right now, and you're waffling on about this crap.
Wow.
That is big news.
It is huge.
If you want a performance,
come see us.
Yeah. Come see us.
You come see us.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's right. On Friday, the 20th of September, 2024, we are playing the London Palladium, and you can join us there for one night only. We present Football Ramble Time Tunnel. Expect loads of laughs, some quite ridiculous content from that guy, Pete Donaldson, and a journey through the last 17 years of football history like no other. Now, tickets go on general sale this Friday, so you got to act fast. You can find yours at footballramblelive.com. That's footballramblelive.com. But today, tickets have already gone on pre-sale exclusively for our Football Ramble Patreon subscribers. So if you want to get to the front of the queue, then go to patreon.com/footballramble. There is another option too. If you sign up for our new mailing list, the team sheet, you will get pre-sale tickets tomorrow on Thursday. So that's Friday night at the London Palladium, September the 20th. To get your tickets, go to footballramblelive.com. As I say, general sale Friday, pre-sale tickets through our mailing list on Thursday, which of course is tomorrow, or be at the front of the queue. You can do it today. Get involved because people will already be snapping them up by the time you've listened to this. Patreon.com/footballrambles.
I've been Sean 5 years.
I know. It's bloody exciting.
Something takes a part of me. I'm going to be doing a lot of contracts.
Bring it back. It's going to be that for like 3 hours. Bring your Jansport bags. They will be checked.
I didn't realise Korn sounded like Rolf Harris sped up.
You went a bit Bruce Forsyth in the read as well, a bit Brucey.
Well, you know, I mean, yeah.
He played the Palladium many times.
I bet he did.
Isn't he buried underneath?
Yes,
he is.
His ashes are.
He's buried, or his ashes are in the Palladium.
Come and watch us live.
I'm going to snort his ashes on stage.
We're bringing out the skeleton of Bruce Forsyth.
Let's do a seance.
Imagine that chin bone.
Ooh. Higher than 6 feet under your same.
Bruce has come back to life.
Didn't he do well?
Fish, this will be the first time you're doing a live show with us, the Football Ramble. It'll be our biggest live show.
First time you're into a theatre as well.
Yes. You're right in at the deep end. How do you feel?
I feel broadly embarrassed because...
you don't want to be associated at this level.
There's that a little bit. On Monday, I was working out in a park doing sprints and whatever.
Working out in a bush.
Yeah. Well, yeah. As in with a personal trainer, sorry.
Right. It's even worse.
And a bloke and his partner walked by. He kept looking over, as you kind of would when someone's working out in public.
Yeah. Especially with those guns.
Yeah. Someone's stolen my watch.
He got about 20 yards away, turned back and went, "Vish, love the ramble." And I was like, I looked like an absolute state. Yeah. I turned to my trainer and I was like, "Fucking hell, that's embarrassing. You see me like this." And he was like, "Don't worry, he's only just turned the corner." And then I thought, hold on, fan of the ramble would have seen that tickets have gone on sale for our live show, or that they're coming on sale. He must think I'm the vainest person in the world.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, well, we said it was going to be Magic Mike themed.
Well, Tragic Mike.
So Vish will be at the front in the middle.
Definitely not. Yeah. Definitely not.
FootballRambleLive.com, baby, get your tickets.
Yeah.
Well done, Peter. Well done. Pete, you must be very, very happy, not just about this whole Ramble Live situation, but Arsenal battered Chelsea 5-0.
Are we basically just talking about Pete like he's an Arsenal fan now?
Yeah. Well, Jim's not here.
Right. Someone's got to do it.
So I'm the only one that's kind of got my...
He's got to Celeste Park tonight for the team.
Celeste Park.
Yeah, but Pete outlined before, he's a London supporter. So this is exactly... this is a terrible result because it's going to, you know, there's going to be a rift in the fabric of London.
No, all of London needs to get behind Arsenal. Yes, they're our representatives in the title race.
I see. So this is stepping on your ally to get ahead.
No. I think this is all banding together.
I mean, all of London hates Chelsea anyway, so it's just a very slight change, isn't it?
Oh, hey.
You're a Fulham fan.
Chelsea.
Okay, I hate Iceland. Right. To quote that Scotsman at Edinburgh Airport. Or was it Glasgow? Who cares? Yeah. 5-0, though. It's a huge win.
Yeah. I was dancing around like those two fans.
The fans, lots of fans dancing in the stadium. I'll tell you something, right?
A lovely bit of salsa.
The DJ owned
very sexy couple as well.
Hotel bar. Let's go upstairs. Kind of vibe, wasn't it?
That's exactly what I thought.
Sex people in. Yeah.
DJ earned their money last night. I think.
At Arsenal, by the way, is a massive Ramble fan. And nice. When I used to cover games at the Emirates, he would, because often he will see who's coming in from the press, and he'd allow me to request a song at halftime.
Did you?
He's a good bloke.
This is corruption.
He's really sound.
He's the one who plays the wrestling themes, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's right.
This is fantastic news. Well, what I would say, though, Luke Moore, is Arsenal, they are now top of the league, of course, got a great goal difference. They battered Chelsea 5-0. It was that their best ever win against Chelsea in the history of the fixture and so on. But considering they haven't won anything, were those scenes of celebration over the top?
And joining us right now on the line is Richard Keys to give us
It is the place that when Arsenal win big, I'm telling you something, the Emirates is the place to be.
Yeah. Arsenal fans feel like they probably can't win because they always used to get a terrible reputation.
Yeah, I know.
Probably rightly so, for being so moany. Like the big thing at the Emirates would be what minute are the fans going to turn, right?
Yeah.
If you can see their stupid go early on or someone even just makes a mistake, the fans can turn. Now it's like a carnival atmosphere there. I was there for the Newcastle game a month or so ago, whenever it was. And it was like a carnival
atmosphere. It's brilliant what they've done.
So good on them. My team have been promoted, so I'm not going to complain.
No.
So it doesn't matter to me. Mm-hmm. But I do think that... It's a really interesting game from the Chelsea point of view. And the reason I say that is because Arsenal will do what they're going to do. They by lots of measures in the Premier League this season, they've been the best team so far, right? Of course, it remains to be seen whether they'll be crowned the best team. But it is still in Man City's hands. and it wasn't in Man City's hands till fairly recently. Mm-hmm. So Arsenal, it feels to me like there's almost a need to just celebrate when you can,
yeah,
and enjoy it whatever happens, mm, which I think is fair enough. But from Chelsea's point of view, I found it really interesting just because they were pretty bad. Pretty bad. And given that they've just come off the back of a narrow defeat in the semi-final FA Cup against Man City, which
they could have
won that game. Yep. They absolutely smashed Everton before that. Mm. And then it just goes to show you, read the Everton result. If you're a bunch of kind of inconsistent, underperforming good players, right, you'll beat inconsistent, underperforming average players, which is what they did against Everton. But if you come up against a team, particularly away from home, who are super organised, know their jobs inside out, really well drilled, there's a chance, no matter how good your reputation is and how big you are as a club or whatever, you'll get destroyed.
Yeah.
And last night, I mean, Pochettino said it himself, didn't he? He said, you know, when we're bad, we are so bad. They were just embarrassing.
Well, they were.
Rene called the team human soup, which I very much enjoyed.
Okay. That is
just a collection of disparate, chunky bits of nutrition that don't work together.
Yeah, but like that's Chelsea have that kind of performance in them. I appreciate they were on an unbeaten run, but bear in mind, two of those games were.
It wasn't Leverkusen-esque, though, was it?
Yeah, they drew to Burnley and drew to Sheffield United when they should have beaten both.
Right,
they basically let them both off the hook inexplicably, really. But they always have this kind of game where you're not entirely sure that they're on first name basis with each other.
I don't think
you know what the other person's doing at any one time.
It's like those blokes with big supercar garages. It's full of million-pound cars, mm-hmm, and there's 10 of them. None of the batteries are charged.
No. Because they haven't driven them
for ages.
Yeah, without Cole Palmer inside, and I appreciate they've put in very poor performances when he's been in the side, but it was like taking a quarterback away from an American football team.
Totally.
Well, go on, then play the game.
Because nobody
knows what we're doing.
There's no trust with... So Enzo Fernandez probably had his worst game of the season, mm-hmm, last night. I thought he was dreadful, considering, I suppose, what he normally brings. At least like a level of assurance. Mm. But when you take Cole Palmer out of there, what happens is you realise that the only person they trust is gone. So no one ever makes any runs with any real vigour.
Or they run and then they go, what do we do next? I forget what happens.
At least you have, he's almost like the brain of the operation. Mm. And so everything kind of runs through him.
It's incredible. And Pochettino said... before the game that, you know, he wants the players to show this is Chelsea Football Club, not Cole Palmer Football Club.
Yeah. And they did that in a way.
I mean, Cole, if you're listening, get yourself down to the chairman's office and negotiate a new contract right now. Because you have them in the palm of your hand.
Yeah, well done.
Thanks.
There's also, Malagusto, who, in my opinion, has been probably their second best player this season. Losing him as well, suddenly Alfie Gilchrist was there and just not...
Gilchrist should have had a hyphen in the middle of his name. Gilchrist! Stop!
My wife made the point that he looks like an actor playing a footballer.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
he's
that's fair.
Quite kind of boyishly handsome, but also he stands, he's almost too upright.
Yeah.
I find the midfield situation at Chelsea really fascinating because, those two players who play at the base midfield for Chelsea, fair enough, you can't necessarily ascribe quality to price paid for player.
They're very good players.
They are good players, but they don't seem to be able to control games. And it feels strange to me given, okay, you're away from home against Arsenal. Mm-hmm. Arsenal in the centre of midfield had a player who hasn't played an awful lot of football this season. Mm-hmm. We know he's very good, but a lot of the chat around the Arsenal community, if you like, has been that does Arteta trust these players? Does he trust Partey enough? Does he trust Trossard enough? Trossard's come in more recently, done really well. He's shown brilliance off the bench and now he's starting to start games and he's obviously a great player. But it always baffles me how for this kind of game, if you're Chelsea, you say, surely, Arsenal are under a lot of pressure here. Yeah. Our season's done, right? No one expects anything from us, right? Particularly away from home. If we get after them really early and really put pressure on them and just run hard, and there's a chance, we've seen it in the past, if Arsenal go half-time and it's 0-0, they know they need to win the game, right? If we perhaps even nick a goal, which I know is easier said than done, but just go after them early.
Look what Villa did.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
But
Villa
listen,
are a football team.
What happens? Well, I'll tell you what happens. Neither Caicedo or Enzo can get any control over the game whatsoever. Mm. They concede within 3 or 4 minutes. Mm. The goalkeeper makes, in my view, an error to concede the goal. He should save it. And all of a sudden, they're on the back foot. And then Chelsea, you could see them after we're a goal down going, okay. And they don't have got no idea what to do because we're mid-table. We don't really want to get embarrassed. Well, it turns out they got embarrassed anyway. But they didn't really offer anything other than that. And there'd be a couple of chances where Jackson, who's got pace and is quite unpredictable and tries to be positive, they'll break here and there and he'll do something. But you never have any conviction he's ever going to score. It's a really, really weird situation.
When Kukurea had that chance where he probably could have hit it first time and it probably would have gone in. Because of the nervousness of the side and the slight miscommunication, he sort of set himself, and fair enough, he got it on target and stuff, but it still hit the keeper. It was a really poor performance. And I said last week, if they think about things, they could probably get this right next season, and they probably could, but at this moment in time, they're just disparate clunking bits of gears grinding up against each other.
They are, and it's not too dissimilar to the situation at Manchester United. I just feel whatever coach comes in, very, very disjointed.
I think they've got the right coach. Personally, I think he brings young players through. I think he knows what he's doing, but it's just going to take a bit of time.
I think that squad is capable of doing exactly what Pete says that he thinks it could do in terms of get better together next season. I would say Pochettino probably isn't the right man because he doesn't necessarily have a back catalogue of working particularly well with those kind of creative players. I think he puts them in a structure and they tend to do quite well, but I think not so much yesterday, but let's say the Man City game, that was quite a strict regimented game plan, but that's probably the most disciplined they've been all season. They've not really shown that previously. Even the Manchester United game where they obviously won it at the death, it was in part because they were almost doing what Luke said at the start. They were playing against a team who have, you know, worse individuals, as it were, in that kind of chaos together. But there was absolutely no reason why that midfield three can't work. Mm. But last night it was almost like they were standing in a vertical straight line. You were like, how are you finding all this space around, like, people? If they stood next to each other on the field, they would have done, you know, they would have held up Arsenal a bit more.
Yeah.
But you look at that, you know, you look at the respective talents of, say, like, Gallagher, Fernandez, and Caicedo. And it does work. They're all tiered slightly differently. Every now and again, you get like Gallagher doing something, trying to do a bit too much, basically.
I don't actually think Gallagher's that good.
He seems to have like no discipline, or at least wants to do everything.
I know why he likes him in the press and stuff. I can see
he's a good player, Gallagher.
He's busy,
but in the wall.
But we can all talk about good players. Mm. I mean, we're talking about whether he's good enough for the ambitions that Chelsea have.
I mean, he's been one of the better performers. I totally agree. Look, I hope he stays in the job, because if he does, and obviously you know my thoughts about Ten Hag staying in the job, then I want to see this Chelsea and this Manchester United play each other two more times. Quite frankly, it was such good value. I think we should applaud the Arsenal fans, because they obviously have a bit of sympathy with Chelsea, because at the end of the game they were trying to encourage them and they were cheering the Chelsea passes, which is lovely banter.
You'd also have that's superb. It's great. You'd have to have a very hard heart not to allow Arsenal to have that. Just if you've survived the Drogba years as an Arsenal fan, you're allowed to do this.
You know? Certainly are. And I love
you get a little stamp like a Costa card. But every time you've seen Drogba score against your team, you get 10 of them. You get to jeer Chelsea.
This is their freebie.
Yeah.
What I love though is that the Chelsea move culminated in David Rea catching the ball, which goes, "Hey, big old chance!" Superb.
A lovely moment as well, where Enzo was trying to like jink from a standing start, and whoever was up against him was just not buying it.
Yeah.
And then he turns and passes the ball, and the Arsenal fans start cheering him.
I mean, look, we have to mention Arsenal a bit more, because what a performance it was. Just bearing in mind Arsenal, you obviously went out in the Champions League very recently. They were beaten by Aston Villa in between those two Bayern games. And we were saying after the Bayern 1 Arsenal 0 result, which obviously put them out, Vish, I was saying, you know, has Arteta, you know, is this the ceiling? Now, of course, they haven't won the league. There's still a few games to go. And when I say, is this the ceiling? Let me kind of rephrase that. You know, do they need to really properly sort of challenge Manchester City, really go further in the Champions League, blah, 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 blah. Because I thought it may just sort of begin to kind of peter out slightly. Well, they get a good win at Wolves, bearing in mind that they go into that game, the pressure's suddenly on. It's not an easy place to go. And then they follow up with this. And you look at them in the Premier League, they are top, with four games to go. That goal difference is so impressive. Liverpool are 3 points behind them with the game in hand. Arsenal are now not that
worried. But it's not Liverpool they've got to worry about.
No, it's not Liverpool. It's Manchester City, who do need to go to Craven Cottage, by the way.
Let them here. They'll munch up that goal difference.
Indeed, indeed. And now, obviously, Liverpool beat Fulham at Craven Cottage. But I think, you know, Fulham, you know, again, banding together in the whole sort of London vibe, thought, actually, we should save ourselves for the Man City game.
I mean, do it for them.
Yeah.
Man City's fixtures are incredibly fortunate. You got Brighton, Forest, Wolves, Fulham, West Ham.
Yeah,
all eminently beatable. Spurs.
But what Arsenal? I mean,
the delicious thing though is those Spurs fans who are obviously understandably happy of Arsenal going out in the Champions League. Mm. It's like you may come to rue that because.
But they can play. But they play Arsenal this Sunday.
They do play Arsenal this Sunday, but they may come to rue that because the extra place went to Serie A, I believe. They're going to have five representatives in the Champions League, so the Spurs presumably, you know, we'll get to the point of the season. They will. Probably need a victory against Manchester City to get that fourth space. That's a lovely little bit of narrative there.
I mean, the original question was about Arsenal and you know what they're doing. I think they've they're clearly saying we're going to drive them all the way as hard as we can and you know take it right to the wire.
But that win last night, suddenly it's like no, we are still alive. We've still got the.
But going to Spurs on Sunday's massive.
It is massive. It is. But what a victory to kind of boost yourself and get yourself going.
Especially the manner of that, where they were able to take off quite a few of their starters.
Absolutely.
You know, quite early in that second half, and also Odegaard, who, like, for my money, has been player of the season.
He is magnificent,
incredible. Mm. And the Havertz goal, the first goal, where he. Switches that ball around. Probably should have been disallowed.
Was it Havertz? Because I was following it on Chelsea's official Twitter feed, and apparently
that's where you watch all the games.
All of it. And they
brings it to life.
Every time Arsenal scored, they would put the obviously the score and the score. Apart from when Havertz scored, they just said an Arsenal have scored.
Yeah. I don't
you see, so Chelsea didn't lose everywhere.
I actually watch all the games through the Nottingham Forest Twitter account, and that's why I believe the Earth.
That's why I've not seen any of the football.
I basically just watch referees.
You were saying something presumably important.
So it probably should have been ruled out because I thought Gabriel did foul Madueke. But the gloriousness of that goal was obviously the pass. And I'm very thankful that Havertz scored it because I feel like Odegaard has played so many of those kind of passes across this season, but they only ever live in the goal.
Yes, of course.
I felt a bit sorry for Havertz because I could tell how gutted he was to score a couple against his own team.
Love it.
It was so good.
He actually looked pretty pissed off when he came off, and I thought maybe it's because he was on a hat trick, but actually because he was leaving his Chelsea friends. When your mum calls you,
I just want to be near them.
Yeah. Ben White was on a hat trick for a bit, wasn't he?
He was. Yeah.
TNT Sports were obsessed with. Did you mean it? He obviously didn't mean it. Look at the celebration.
Doesn't he even mean to be a footballer?
No, exactly. I would say get him on the plane, but you know,
on the plane.
Barring a sort of a B.A. Baracus situation where we have to drug him and get him on there.
When he gets in a sunbed.
Yeah.
Because he's got the goggles in. Sometimes
just people shut it.
No. Just like
carry on to the plane.
Carefully lift it. And...
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Well, he said, when he was asked if he meant the goal, he said, I don't know. I'll let everyone else decide that. Yeah. I think you've made up our minds.
You literally celebrated, and I feel like you could see your mouth. Oh, I didn't mean that.
Yeah.
Can we just put Fly Emirates on the front of the England kit? Tricky. He doesn't seem that clever.
No. Him and Saka on one side, although, again, can't. Sorry.
Yeah.
It was glorious stuff from Arsenal. There's no two ways about it. Trossard, you know, chipping in with another important goal.
And the thing about Trossard is he's really, in an old-fashioned way, forced his way into the
team. He's taken to it, hasn't he? And not been phased at all.
And what he offers is so positive. He's so quick with his low centre of gravity. And he's finishing with both feet really good.
Yeah.
So like he provides such a good like extra dimension to what they're doing. And he's hitting his straps exactly the right part of the season.
He certainly is. Now, Anne Hathaway.
Oh,
the Hollywood actress was filmed keeping up with the game and celebrating a Trossard's goal during a press interview, apparently. Now, Vish, you said on last week...
Unprofessional.
For a man who has interviews.
You are getting paid to do this.
Have you interviewed Hathaway?
It's very annoying.
Yeah. For the Dark Knight Rises. Was she Catwoman, I think?
Any good?
Yeah, she was nice. Very nice. Okay. Yeah, very down to earth.
Any insight?
And surprisingly funny. That's the living thing.
Yeah. Olympia had a standoff with her during her prom.
Oh,
wow,
really?
Anne Hathaway had a go at Olympia's dancing.
Which is a massive no-no. So they went to the same school together?
No, she was someone's date who came to that prom.
I see.
My partner's school's prom.
Well, I watch a lot of my football through the Twitter page, Inda Abu, who, underneath the video of Anne Hathaway following the Trossard goal in the press interview, wrote, please, her handle, it's Anne Hathaway.
You'll find
it's Anne Hathaway.
Yeah.
I don't think she really has one. It's Anne Hathaway. She's won an Oscar.
How can I find this person?
Yeah. Who is this?
But she's out. She's outed herself as an Arsenal fan. Presumably.
Indeed, and presumably on the terrace of Arsenal, they'll be saying Hathaway the lads.
She lived here for quite a while. She's married to a Brit. I think
she might well be.
How about
Marido
that?
Brit.
We'll never know. No. But Vish, you said on last week's reacts of the two famous Arsenal fans, people know about or slash knew about. One's a bell end and the other got taken out by US Special Forces. Which category?
So which one's which?
She is in or will be.
Is Morgan dead?
Are we talking about Catwoman Hathaway?
Yeah. Any Hathaway you want.
Devil Wears Prada.
Yeah.
Prada.
Gary, that's the kind of thing. Gary
Devil Wears Prada.
If the camera cuts her and she's in the stand, Neville was on Go comes. No. Devil Wears Prada.
I'd love to see how weird Gary Neville would be interviewing Anne Hathaway. Right. It'd be really weird.
Mm. Yeah.
Yes. Not as weird as weirder than you probably
think.
Weird,
I think Devil Wears Prada is her best film.
Yeah, I think it is too. Yeah, decent.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I think she shows up Meryl Streep for what she truly is. Presumably flat track bully.
Passenger.
Meryl Streep's a flat track bully. Yeah. Just have to stop and take that in.
She's a Farmers League actress.
Yeah.
I think that Pep Guardiola's gutted because he loves the Hollywood actresses coming.
He does.
Who was he got annoyed about went to go see Man United?
Julian Roberts.
That's right.
I think he's just.
I don't think Pep's got any time for anything else other than football tactics, to be honest.
No.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. Mm. So, yes, Arsenal, 4 points clear at the top. Man City and Liverpool have games in hand.
I'm disappointed that Anne wasn't supporting Arsenal during the Wenger year. She's not earned her stripes.
No.
She popped up as well. They're doing
Glory Hunter. Doing well, perhaps not. Gentlemen, Leicester City also won 5-0 last night. Leicester 5. Southampton 0.
It was a great night for the Luke Nation. People think I hate Chelsea. I don't actually hate them more than I hate any other team. However, I hate Southampton more than every other team. Mm. And them getting absolutely whopped is fantastic for a couple of reasons.
Whopped.
One, because they essentially went through quite a large part of the season, Southampton, flirting with the idea they were going to return to the Premier League.
Mm. Still a chance.
Then they messed it up massively. Mm. Then when the pressure was off, they started to do well again. And when it started to be a chance, they've absolutely lost it again. So it's probably
look forward to next season.
The most heartbreaking way of not being promoted if they don't go up for the playoffs. And if they do, the egg's going to be on my face, isn't it? Also, can we have a special mention, please, for Jamie Vardy rolling back the years and with an absolutely textbook near post run, which you don't see strikers do enough anymore, in my view. Mm-hmm. Lovely finish. And even though it was the fourth in a 5-0 win, he's celebrating like it's the World Cup final. He's going, he did a full Klinsmann into the corner.
Lovely.
He couldn't believe his life.
He's wearing gloves. And to which I thought, if I was a headline writer, if indeed I was writing about Leicester, I'd write Vardy's gloves in May. Darling Buds of May.
It doesn't work.
It's not even
not
May.
At all.
No, it doesn't work. It's not May anyway, is it? No.
And that's why I'm not writing for The Sun or anyone, in fact.
Because you don't know the date.
It's important for a newspaper, isn't it?
I'm filing very late.
You've kind of just admitted that you're not good enough to write for The Sun.
Yeah. I'd love Pete for a day just to do Sun headlines.
Yeah.
It'd be brilliant. It'd be amazing. It wouldn't be any worse than it already is, would it?
Exactly.
Guys, I've got an update.
Do you not think,
I'm bringing back page three.
Do you not think Vardy on the front? The top one.
It'd be Pete every day.
Vardy's got in that stage of his career now where every goal is just a bonus, isn't it?
It is. I
definitely think he massively fancies one more tilt in the Premier League.
16 goals in the Championship this season.
He could do one of those things that you see strikers do occasionally of advancing years where they just have an amazing Indian summer.
Yeah.
I could see him scoring a few goals in the Prem next season.
Do you remember when Kevin Phillips went through that phase of he was almost like a Championship mercenary where he'd get team promoted, leave them and join another
my
team
work here is done.
Bring them back up and
Peter Yataka-esque.
I was thinking more like MacGyver of the Championship.
Fair.
Yeah.
That's not even a reference. You've never even seen a single episode of MacGyver.
Thank you.
I don't think I have.
You've referenced it from The Simpsons references.
That's total bollocks. I have seen many
episodes. All right, what happened then? Tell us the plot of the MacGyver you watched.
There was one with like loads of like insects and ants, which was very disturbing when I was a child watching that.
Right. Are you thinking of Indiana Jones?
Interesting. You're thinking of Ant-Man.
Yeah, he hates snakes.
I didn't say snakes, did I?
Yeah.
He had bad dates.
So I think you've shown yourselves up.
Yeah, you've embarrassed yourself.
Oh, it's the one about ants, right? Yeah. All right, go to the ad break. I'm going to Google MacGyver's ant show.
I'm going to go to the ad break. I'm going to fill in a little bit more colour here on old Leicester City.
All right, then.
They need to win just one of their remaining two matches to seal promotion.
Nice.
How about that?
Not if the ants get them.
Not if the ants get them, no. It's incredible, though. And Maresca's done a great job, hasn't he?
He's been fantastic.
Just incredible.
They were flying for a long while, and they had a little bit of a wobble, and now they've bounced back. Mm. You say they need to win one more. I mean, yeah, they probably do, but realistically, they're going to be fine. They're going to get promoted, aren't they? Mm. And they're going to be back in the Premier League with a lovely points deduction.
Have you enjoyed Harry Winks this season, though? It's nice. Yeah. See him in refreshed.
He's been absolutely fantastic.
No more winking.
I was surprised to hear that he's got a reputation as being a bit of a bell end, though.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, someone told me that recently, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But don't let that get you down, Harry. You carry on doing your thing. In fact, in many cultures,
yes,
being seen as a bell end by me is actually a great badge of honour.
Is that right? Oh, dear. Right, everybody, coming up in the second half, Manchester United versus Sheffield United, the Merseyside derby, and Romario coming out of retirement at 58. See you in a moment.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Things like, I'm looking behind you now, look at the buffet they put on for yous. It's unbelievable, isn't it? The food at this club is unbelievable. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, I thought my previous club did amazing things in the kitchen.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble. Tony Mowbray there on the food at Birmingham City. I like Tony Mowbray.
I do. Yeah. I like that he's got a timeless, lovely big conk. It's just endless.
What makes
it
timeless?
It's just been, you know, like, I saw, sorry to bring him back to wrestling, but I saw Sergeant Slaughter's chin quite recently.
And
he's an older man.
Old reference.
He's an older man, but he's still got a massive chin, like really bony chin. And I'm like, that nose never quits.
Like Bruce Campbell.
Yes.
Famously, Bruce Campbell. Bruce Campbell's autobiography is called If Chins Could Kill.
Is it really?
Yeah, he's got a legendary kind of lower jaw.
Hey, speaking of legendary bits of celluloid, deep in the Amazon jungle, a horde of killer ants is destroying everything in its path. MacGyver helps his entomologist friend and the plantation owner to battle the ants before the plantation is destroyed.
Yeah. Mm. It's not surprising to me because, respectfully, you basically can't remember your own name.
Right.
Marcus has got one of the most photographic memories of anyone I've ever met, yet you still take him on.
Okay, still have a go. Still have a go.
Oh, dear.
He's indefatigable, Pete. He will keep going. He won't get deterred. Yeah.
Oh, dearie me. Right, everybody. Let's go to, before we go to the Premier League, let's go all the way down to the National League with quite a troubling story, quite frankly. The National League finished last weekend and the playoffs start today. The format's a little different than what perhaps we think of playoffs in the Football League, because it's not Football League. Two eliminators usually played for the teams in fourth to seventh to then go through to semi-finals. So there you go. So not straight to semi-finals like other playoffs do. Gateshead were meant to be playing Solihull Moors tonight in the first eliminator, but Gateshead have been barred from taking part after failing to meet the entry criteria for membership in the English Football League. Now, one might say, well, is that their fault or something? Well, the club failed to secure the required 10-year security of tenure at the called at the Gateshead Stadium, which is called the International Stadium, where they have played since 1971.
Mm.
Which is a remarkable situation.
Well, it's basically means that you can kind of trade where you are for the next 10 years. And obviously a lot of clubs have that security. But, I mean, they've been trying to get their own ground for such a long time now. And it actually ties in with the World Cup bid of like 2016, whenever it was. The last World Cup bid that we failed, basically.
Yes.
The new Gateshead Stadium would have been... or ground rather, would have been a training area for the teams that are playing up at St James's Park.
Oh, really? Okay.
So either way, it didn't happen,
and so therefore they couldn't afford to do it. But they've been knocking on the door of the Football League for such a long time. Mike Williamson nearly got there. It's been a shame.
I think the reason is, I don't know as much about it as you do, Pete, but I think the reason it kind of sticks in the craw and rankles with people, I think, is just on a very basic level that, like, football...
They've been there since 1971.
And football's a meritocracy, right?
Yeah.
Football's, you know, for all its faults and all the things it's got wrong with it, which it has got many, we all at least agree, unless we're, you know, Matt Letizia or whatever, that... there's a point system involved. If you get X amount of points, you deserve to have this. And if you have that taken away from you for non-footballing reasons, it feels difficult.
But you would sort of say that these guarantees are in place to make sure that you don't get, like, I don't know, a Coventry situation or whatever.
On the other hand, is it worth pointing out that they should have had their admin sorted if they knew there was a chance they were going to promote
you? I don't know who owns the Gateshead Stadium. It might be council owned. I mean, why aren't they giving them that security?
Well, yeah. they did. So the National League wrote to the council with Gateshead to basically push their case.
Right.
And I think the cut-off point was at the end of March.
Right.
And it obviously...
That's really surprising. The council didn't get their shit together. Really surprising.
But yeah, no, it was... I feel like they have tried, because they've known it's on the cards. They've known that this is, I suppose, the barrier of entry for EFL membership as well.
And you get with and Rob Elliott, the ex Newcastle United goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. There's always been a strong, for obvious proximity geographic reasons. There's always been a massive Newcastle contingent down there. Mm. Ian Borgie back in the day.
Yeah,
yeah.
While we're talking about playoffs, Barnsley will be competing in the League One playoffs. Of course, League One playoffs are for suckers, aren't they, Luke Moore?
Oh, yeah, we don't worry about that kind of stuff. Is that what they do down there, is it?
Apparently, if you don't win the league and get automatic promotion, you have to be into a playoff. You know,
but
that
sounds a bit far fetched to me.
You don't have to worry about that. Yeah. Your lot don't have to worry about
that. Oh, monsters under the bed, is it? I'm not believing that. Yeah.
Barnsley have decided to sack their manager Neil Collins before the playoffs start.
Yeah, they've taken. You know what they've taken influence from for this, don't you? African Cup of Nations, isn't it?
Gets it done.
Yeah.
I thought to myself, or is it Spurs League Cup final getting rid of Jose Mourinho that time?
Worked out well for them, didn't it? Yeah.
Is it the closer you get to like victory, people say, I can't be arsed with his showboating. He will be awful to deal with if they win anything.
Who, Mourinho?
Neil
Collins.
That was the motivation with Mourinho, yeah.
Yeah, with Mourinho, it's like we want Spurs to be in the League Cup final, not Jose Mourinho.
Yes.
Well, the first team coach, Martin Devaney, is taken over. He's been appointed interim until the end of the season.
Mm. So it's an interesting situation because Barnsley, they're in the playoffs, as you've mentioned. Mm-hmm. They're just about in the playoffs. I mean, they might not finish in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Mm. They're 1 point in it, and they've been on a terrible run. They haven't won a game for five now, and I don't fully understand the timing. From what I can see from Barnsley fans, what I checked out online earlier, that they kind of, you know, think Collins was, you know, seemed like a good guy, but the football wasn't great. And
well, I mean, the director of football said of Neil Collins, Neil has been extremely professional throughout the period with which I have worked with him. He's done everything he can do to push the team in the direction we all want Barnsley to go. He's conducted himself with professionalism and commitment throughout the period I have worked with him. However, with a crucial season conclusion ahead of us, we feel that now is the right time to make a change.
Do you want to make the world a better place? Take a look at yourself and make a change, as Michael Jackson once said.
One thing I would also say is that the thing about Barnsley this season is, from what I've seen of them, is they have conceded an astonishing amount of goals for the position they're in. I mean, they've got by far the worst defence in the top half of League One.
West Ham-esque.
They're basically on a fucking terrible run at the really difficult part of the season. Mm. They need to close out, get in the playoffs, and obviously they need to lift themselves again. Mm-hmm. It's a massive gamble by the ownership.
Well, it is. I mean, and obviously they think it's one worth taking because Barnsley will feel that the size of club they are, that they should really be in the Championship. Mm. And again, it's not like... I mean, one even, some people even say, actually, you know, just get into the Premier League if you can, and then if you get relegated, then take the parachute payments. Obviously, that's not the situation here. Yeah. But I think the jump from League One to the Championship is not as big, and it is a case of get over the line. Just how you, however you've got to get over the line, get over that line, and then rebuild when you're in the Championship.
To put it in perspective, when I talk about how many goals they concede, they're in fifth. They've conceded 63 goals this season, which is the same amount of goals as Cheltenham, who are about to be relegated.
Well, it's incredible.
It's amazing.
It is. It is incredible. And again, I'd said West Ham-esque. They're eighth, 63 conceded as well. So
as Pochettino would say, when we're bad, we're very, very bad.
Indeed, yeah. Suck up those lemons. Quickly, though, before we go to tonight's Premier League games, a little mention for Doncaster, by the way, because after 35 games, they're in League Two. After 35 games, they were 20th in League Two.
Yeah.
Right? So that is, you know, it's a big portion of the season, the majority of it. They're now fifth after winning 10 games in a row, and they're on the brink of the playoffs.
That's worth your season ticket, isn't it?
It is.
That reminds me of when Roy Keane took over at Sunderland.
That was astonishing.
They bottom and
they were down there.
Yeah.
And they've zoomed right to the top.
Yeah. Which works for a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Campaign of fear.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah.
That performance gets him in any kind of like job interview, really. I mean, he'll never get the job. Well, but gets him in the room.
But also, chairman, like, I've seen him on telly.
I think too much time has passed now since that, you know. Yeah. But he still did it. It's on his CV.
Just to think that at that point, after 35 games, genuinely a Doncaster fan, probably a child, would have looked at the table and thought, well, if we win 10 in a row, we'd be in a playoff contention.
And that child manages them.
All right, let's go to tonight's Premier League fixtures. Manchester United host Sheffield United. Manchester United's first match, of course, since that FA Cup semi-final win over Coventry.
I've never been so disappointed to not be on a ramble after that game. I could not believe what I was watching in that game.
Well, Vish was gutted because obviously he wanted to gloat and celebrate.
Yeah, but I was out celebrating. I was necking with one hand and cupping my ear with the other.
Yeah.
You actually took a train to Coventry, didn't you? Yeah. Have some of this. Yeah, Neil Morpay tweeted.
Not on a Sunday.
You don't have the option. Neil Morpay tweeted about Anthony cupping his ears after the penalty, saying, just for the record, not even I would do this.
I mean, I feel like he would, though.
Yeah.
But Morpay would at least do it with like a twinkle in his eye. Neil Morpay has shown on his social media activity over the last 6 months or so, he's got a little bit of self-awareness about it.
Well, he's got a character now, isn't he?
Yeah. Whether you like it or not, I think I take the point. Whereas Anthony did tweet saying, Coventry proved why they reached the semi-final.
So by being in the semi-final.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's how it works.
By winning the quarter-final. Yes. And before that, the fifth round, and the third round before that, and so on.
No further questions, Your Honour.
Exactly, yeah. I don't think, Anthony, anyone's suggesting they're under false pretenses, were they?
How's this team got here?
Yeah.
Show me you're working. Anthony went on to say, we seeked this spot in the final for our fans, and we achieved. The way our fans were treated by their players was not nice, and I, in the heat of the moment, reacted to the provocations in a natural defence of my club.
To be fair to Anthony, when he says the way our fans were treated by their players, to have the temerity to
score those
come
three.
Back from 3-0 down is outrageous. It certainly ruined my Sunday afternoon.
He's acted as if there were like missiles being launched.
The way I've reacted to the provocations in exactly the same way I've reacted to every provocation for the entirety of my life as a cunt.
Yeah. The thing is, I've reacted to the provocation. Yeah, we know. That's whatever it is, whatever's gone ahead of you, you shouldn't have reacted.
I find it astonishing that in this day and age where everything is controlled, and we talk about this all the time in football at the top level, so much of it is about what can we control?
Yep.
Like Guardiola, the greatest manager in the history of the Premier League, he's all about what he can control. And it's always really interesting when something comes along that he and Man City can't control because it makes things unpredictable. So when you haven't got a dog in a fight, it makes it more entertaining. They are so forensic, top football clubs. And I know Man United aren't very forensic this season because they've got no kind of real direction. But I find it astonishing, I really do, that no one in the hierarchy at United is sitting down with Anthony and having a conversation with him one-on-one saying, look, you're not doing very well. Mm. We know how you... He'll know. You're not playing very well.
Maybe they might be.
No, but fine, maybe they are. But surely they should be saying, this kind of stuff is making it harder for you. It's not about how I feel about it personally. I'm not offended by it or anything like that, but you are finding it tough here. This is a big club. There's a lot of scrutiny. This kind of stuff is making it harder for you.
And so I've reacted to the provocation as a natural defence of my club. Do some natural defending of your goal.
Yeah, there is that.
That would help us out.
Goal first, defend club after.
But when the manager, Erik ten Hag, is saying things like responding to the media on how they treated the Manchester United win and some of the questions they asked him straight after.
Oh, he's not setting an example either.
When he calls the media embarrassing for the way they treated that semi-final win and a disgrace, then you kind of think, well, yeah, maybe this is why Anthony...
Maybe it's a top-down thing, yeah.
So basically what you say is you look at the parents.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny, isn't it? So the fact that Ten Hag said that, you know, been in two finals since I've been here, it's my fourth final in as many years.
Yeah, as Jim said, it's a real golden age for Manchester United.
It is, yeah. But bear in mind that, like, so it was 2 years in when Mourinho did the whole, like, you know, three Premier League titles for me, two for all of them. Conveniently timed after Wenger retired. But so he does that 2 months before he gets the sack. Yeah. Van Gaal, when he wins the FA Cup in 2016...
He knew he was being sacked.
Yeah, puts the FA Cup on the table, says, see, this is what I got for you kind of thing, and walks out. 2 days later, he's sacked. Ten Hag looking ahead to Man City in the final again. Should probably do it now.
Yeah.
Probably not going to get a chance. Not going to get a chance to have the last laugh there. So no, it was so pathetic.
Are you saying
the Van Gaal FA Cup?
That
final
was the
thing
that came to mind. That's a shame, isn't it?
The Van Gaal FA Cup final thing is interesting as well, because the context of that is that actually, by their own high standards, their record in the FA Cup under Ferguson wasn't actually that good. They had a big controversy around it. They won it in 99. They won it in 94 and 96. And that was it, really. Which I know it sounds odd. They've only won it three times or whatever.
Yeah,
but
what
it's Manchester United. They were so dominant in that period. Yeah. So it does mean something that Van Gaal was able to do that in, 2016, right?
Yeah.
And I think it also shows that Ten Hag perhaps, you know, doesn't fully understand the ambassadorial part of his role. He doesn't seem to be able to get out of his own way by saying these weird things.
I think that there's there's a combination of two things there. The fact that he's ground down, the fact that I think he's quite unnecessary bullshit in those moments. I think a wiser manager, certainly someone who's more affay with the English press, and I appreciate this is his second season here, probably looks at the reaction to what happened on Sunday, the Anthony staff, and thinks, I probably need to take a different tact with this particular press conference.
Possibly.
Because actually it's a little bit of a free hit, because they're expected to beat Sheffield United. He's not going to be asked necessarily about, like, tactics for this game ahead and how big this game is. It's always going to be about Sunday.
Yeah.
The other thing I would say is, he does end up saying a few things that seem outlandish. I think that's just the language barrier thing, though.
Possibly.
Because Dutch... certainly Dutch English is blunter than our colloquial English over here.
King Louis probably showed that.
Yeah,
but I also
think that, like, it's the, you know, you don't look at a room full of journalists and be like, you're the ones embarrassing about your coverage. The performance was embarrassing, mate.
Yeah.
That's why the coverage is deemed embarrassing towards the club.
Yeah.
But he also had a bit of a spiky moment as well, didn't he, elsewhere, when he talked about...
He said loads this season, yeah.
But this week he said to journalists, oh, no, none of you are very sharp or whatever. He was...
To be fair...
One of you has written Vardy Gloves of May in April.
Yeah.
He probably would like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, journalists are bell ends. A lot of them are in press conferences. Yeah.
I'm a journalist.
No, but
I think that's why.
I'm a citizen journalist. I'm always filming people on the show.
That's good. You're a very good citizen journalist. You're like the man on the bike.
My exposure to journalists is you and Andy Brassel. So how am I going to feel? But when Ten Hag walked into the press conference for the game,
it was like a match.
Yeah, he said, he corrected everyone who said good afternoon by saying good morning. And it's like, I understand that maybe you feel like you're above all this and this is just a box you need to tick, but, like, you're not going to endear yourself with people by
but
doing
I love
that
the fact that he was so, all right, I've got to take him on. That's the first thing.
He's not getting a kick, is he?
Good morning. Good afternoon. No, Erik. That's not a thing.
1-0.
You've embarrassed yourselves like you did after the semi-final thing. We weren't even going to mention that. I don't think we're going to defend the press pack.
No.
I think that's quite clear.
But I think it's a really interesting situation as how he's never really quite got to grips with things. I think when he inevitably leaves the club at some point, I think people are going to look back on this tenure and go, okay, like, he did some good things.
I mean, last season it was a lot better. That's the odd thing about this, is that it's often the other way around, isn't it? That the first season is wobbly and shaky, even with Guardiola, by his standards, wasn't great, and he warmed up to it. Erik ten Hag seems to have got it the other way around.
But they've not found,
which is a strange
but
one.
The point about Man United is that since Ferguson left, they've not found a fit.
Oh, well, they've, I mean,
but they've not found it. But it's,
that's,
it's fine.
10 years ago now.
But how long did it take Arsenal to get Arteta fit?
Yeah, fine. But looking at this, the with Arteta and the right backroom staff and so on, with a club, it can be shown that actually, if you get a good manager and the backroom staff, and then suddenly you get everyone singing from the same hymn sheet, it can improve. With Manchester United, I think it's all over the place. I just thought it was interesting that last season they won the League Cup, they got back into the Champions League. It was so much better, and people thought this season they would kick on, and it's not happened. It's odd.
Mm. Yeah, especially because they had the whole summer to work together as well.
Exactly,
and regardless of overseas trips and whatever, like, that was the thing that was supposed to be. Well, it's supposed to start having a bit more of a galvanised squad and team. But,
and anything other than a total shellacking of a defeated Sheffield United tonight is going to be problematic and difficult for them.
I do. I love the fact that one club who seems to have got the house in order, Aston Villa, have sort of looked around and thought Manchester United, there's big rumours that Erik ten Hag won't be there come the summer. I mean, Liverpool needing a new manager, probably unlikely that it would go for someone like Unai Emery, but you never know. And they think, right, get him down on a new contract. We're having a brilliant time.
Like Gerd said, get the security of tenure, Murray. Security of 10 to 9 Emery. Tenure Emery.
Since he did his Alisson joke, which I really fucking love.
Very good. Very
in the
good.
He's gone too far. Mm. Someone needs to rein him in. He's like Colonel Kurtz. He's had a couple of early skirmish successes, and now he's gone completely down the Mekong.
Do you think they should tie him down for forever Emery?
Yes, yes,
that
exactly.
Works.
I'll do his work.
Right.
Can I make a
good evening, good
point?
Afternoon.
Yeah, imagine me correcting everyone all the time.
That's the thing though. Emery cuts like always quite a jolly figure.
Yeah.
Even when he was getting sacked by Arsenal.
I think the links that Emery's been given to different bigger clubs, respectfully to Aston Villa, who are a huge club themselves, it'd be a big mistake anyway. Even if there's any truth in them, Emery's done his best work as a manager at not a massive club. He's clearly the best fit.
Big clubs, but not
but not super clubs, right? Yeah. He never felt like a cultural fit that people...
At PSG.
Yeah, at PSG. Mm. Arsenal, he did some good stuff there, but it had its issues.
Yeah.
But Villa's perfect for him because the expectations are different, and he can say, right, you've come from such a low ebb I'm going to take you to where you should be. Mm. No one's suggesting Aston Villa should be winning the league every year, but they are saying that they're a big enough club to actually probably push into the Champions League, and he's done that. It's a nice fit. He should never, ever be too hasty to leave Villa.
Oh, no,
it's a great move for everyone that he's signed a new contract.
I think he's also probably saved them a bit of rebuilding in terms of he's lifted them enough that certain players, like, let's consider Douglas Luiz, Martinez, Leon Bailey, probably throw Ollie Watkins in there, who might have been like one, two very good seasons away from being plucked and gone elsewhere.
Yeah, possibly.
Now they're that tier of club.
And that's what you've got to do to keep them. Deliver that.
They do indeed. We've got a Merseyside derby tonight, everybody. The fallout does continue, though, from Everton's win over Nottingham Forest.
For having the temerity, Everton, to get on the end of some good refereeing decisions and beat Nottingham Forest, you will never be forgiven.
Well, Liverpool have got to navigate that in the game. It is at Goodison Park, and if they want a penalty, they are going to have to bloody well earn it properly. The old-fashioned way. When I mean the old-fashioned way, I mean the 1950s way. You are going to need Ashley Young to use some kind of medieval weaponry.
Just to be playing.
Yeah.
Ashley Young's post-match interview, as you guys said, was so funny. It's so funny.
He couldn't get enough of it. But Nottingham Forest have not backed down. They tweeted on Monday saying that they had submitted a formal request to the Pugmol to release into the public domain the audio recordings between officials during yesterday's match against Everton at Goodison.
They're having a Lawrence Fox-esque breakdown, aren't
they? It'd be great.
They're the Lawrence Fox of the Premier League.
Bloody
hell. If he's just Luton chants all the way through.
Are we going to give this one no? It's been confirmed, though, that they will receive the audio And on to, you know, I'd love it if it was, as you say, like edited with a bit of or something like really taking the piss. It's likely the audio will be broadcast next week on Referees Mic'd Up with Howard Webb and Michael Owen.
Oh, he must have a contract for that show. He must have.
I reckon for the production company, as with most of these things, he has a select number of days a year.
He has
and
to work.
Like, right, we need to fill him. Yeah. We need to give him something.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm intrigued.
Post that next to Howard Webb.
I am intrigued, though, to hear the audio of that third decision, because it's a shocking decision not to give that as a penalty.
Yeah.
The same, yeah. Look, this is the thing. Look, all Forest fans would have turned off by now, but if there are any of them still listening, I totally understand they got on the end of some bad decisions. I totally understand they feel aggrieved by it, and I totally understand that VAR hasn't sorted out the thing that they expressly stated it would sort out, not just when it was implemented, but in all the stuff that Howard Webb's talked about earlier in the season. I get all that. Mm. We can all agree, bad decisions, it could cost them. Mm. Park that, put it to one side.
Yeah.
The way Nottingham Forest have behaved since then has been an embarrassment.
Well, okay.
And I'll tell you, I'm going to qualify it.
Yep.
Because you cannot run an official Premier League club account like a incel fan account and start calling out this, calling out that. There are proper channels to go through. This is an organisation which is fully membered up. Nottingham Forest get a vote in all the decisions that are made for the league. They have proper avenues they can go down. The only reason they're tweeting this stuff or putting out to the press, for example, they're quote unquote considering suing Gary Neville, is so their fans are on side with them and so they can make a bit of hay out of that side of it. They know the full channels to go down. They are welcome to go down them. I just don't think all this other stuff has to happen.
But
as
do you
well.
Not think that they could claw back some credibility if indeed they were to successfully sue Gary Neville for comparing their post-match tweet to a mafia game?
Yeah, let me also clarify that. I would actually quite like them to sue Gary Neville. I think it'd be fantastic. But
by the way,
I don't think it's getting anywhere,
so
is
they
it?
They are considering suing Gary Neville because Neville said it's like a mafia gang statement with regards to Forest statement. I mean, honestly, what the hell are they playing at? It's like a petulant child. It's embarrassing. Right.
Is it a mafia gang or a petulant child, though?
Yeah.
I don't know, but it's...
Is it AJ from The Sopranos?
It's the only one that ticks both boxes.
You know, the fact, I mean, look.
I think also, just to add to Luke's point about the disagreeable nature of everything, Clattenburg as well.
Yeah, but that's a joke. It's an absolute joke.
The fact that, you know, he's employed with them, he then writes this guest column for the Daily Mail.
It's a joke! It's a joke!
He's got to work.
That column came out straight away.
Yeah.
There's no...
With no mention of the fact that he's in Forrest's pocket as well. Ridiculous.
We can't stop Nottingham Forest hiring who they want to hire.
Is that why Marinakis' trousers keep falling down? He's got Clattenburg in the pocket. It's that Gordon Bennett. it is utterly ridiculous. But tonight it's Everton versus Liverpool. This game will fulfil the game in hand Everton currently have over their relegation rivals. And of course, if they win, they'll go 8 points clear of Luton in 18th. Lot on the line, Pete Donaldson. Do you fancy them to beat the mighty Liverpool?
It's hard to know which Liverpool will turn up. The ones who can score goals or the ones who can't away from home. And Everton will be up for the cup. So, yeah, maybe this might be a title decider right tonight at 8 p.m.
Really?
Yeah, maybe it will.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, can you go a bit higher?
No.
Liverpool obviously playing their game in hand over Arsenal, and a win would see them go level on points with Arsenal.
They've got such a good goal difference, Arsenal.
I was about to say...
If they can maintain that, that's going to be very helpful. Imagine Man City might munch it up, but...
True. I was going to say they'll be second on goal difference, but you never know what could happen tonight. If Mo Salah suddenly remembers what it's like to score goals, then it's unlikely they're going to win about 13-0, though. But
what if Forrest hire Randy Orton and he comes on and RKO's Ashley Young?
It's a good point, actually, yeah. While he's got that big shit-eating grin.
I don't understand anything.
They're hiring anyone, aren't they?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
This might be their retribution.
Guns for hire.
Do you fancy Liverpool for this one?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, okay.
I think this is be the first time they'll start a properly full-strength team as well.
I think Liverpool...
Even though they've been like more or less close to that the last month, but...
I know Liverpool, obviously, they bounced back beating Fulham, of course, 3-1. And look, they'd lost three in a row, and before that, drawn with Manchester United. So they were desperate for a victory, and they got it. And they didn't look like they were ever going to lose that game.
You didn't think they were brilliant, though.
I didn't think that, they didn't have to be brilliant.
They're
be
a bit
fair,
more clinical, though, weren't they? Like having Jota in your front line, and now he's injured for 2 weeks. But
yeah,
he felt like he made a big difference.
Well,
against Fulham.
Well, it was so funny. I mean, I can't remember what the score was. It was 2-1, or maybe even 3-1, and they bring on Salah and Nunes. You know, and you think, oh, come on. But Salah looked off. He screwed a shot wide. I'm still not entirely convinced. Now, I know this is a daft thing to say. But they relied on, you know, two pieces of absolute quality. Now they have those players, so they can produce that quality. So again, it's almost a bit of a silly thing to say. But Trent scores a beautiful free kick. Gravenberch capitalises on a mistake and takes his goal really, really well. But they and again, I understand how this might sound a bit silly. They didn't really create too much, though. If you see what I mean. Now, one could argue, well, actually, they were already a goal up, and the fact is they just pressed Fulham and they knew that the mistakes would come. And so, again, it was a decent, solid performance from Liverpool because they certainly didn't look like they were going to lose the game. And against Everton, you'd obviously fancy them for crying out loud. But I think that Arsenal victory last night, you suddenly go, oh, well, hang on a minute, they're back at the races. I haven't seen that from Liverpool for a while. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, no, yeah. I totally see what you mean. But that's why they're the worst of the three teams going for the title, aren't they? They are the most disjointed. They've been the most inconsistent. They've relied upon their brilliant players producing moments of magic. I think immediately to, well, I suppose to most of them, really. They've had no great consistency. The only person, I suppose, who's been a bit off it recently is Szoboszlai, because there's an argument that you'd start Curtis Jones over him now that Jones is fully fit. Right. But, yeah, they've been massively inconsistent. And to be fair, their little ricks over the last month or so have kind of been predicted by a few people who watch them regularly who are like, right, we're kind of getting out of jail a lot here. And it's going to come up, you know, by the end of the season.
I also think with Liverpool, it's quite easy to get convinced that, oh yeah, they're Liverpool, so they've gone through this period where they've been battling with Man City for the title over the last however many years. But before Klopp's news came out and it kind of chucked the whole thing into disarray, it's easy to forget that Liverpool actually probably expected to have a bit of a transitional season this season. The key players they've brought in Szoboszlai, Gravenberch, McAllister, Endo's turned out to be quite important for them. All in key kind of midfield positions. Like, they've had quite a lot of turnover of players when you chuck into the mix that they lost Fabinho as well and Henderson, who was a big figure at the club, etc, etc.
Mane.
Yeah, Mane as well. I feel like they're doing really, really well for the position cycle they're in. And we've kind of been convinced of otherwise, chiefly because it would be a nice story for them to go out on a high and win the title in Klopp's last season. That doesn't actually really matter in the grand scheme of things, because this isn't really a season where they were necessarily expected to tilt for the title anyway.
Do you think that in the close season, when they are trying to acquire new players or fortifying all positions, the massive unknowns about how this is all going to pan out next season makes it difficult to attract the very, very best? Because if I'm like a, you know, I'm a player who can go to maybe three or four clubs in the world, I'd be looking at Liverpool and sort of going, massive unknowns, huge legacy, could be another Manchester United.
Of course it will, absolutely. Because you can definitely see players looking at, say, what Guardiola was doing at City, Klopp was doing at Liverpool, now what Arteta's doing at Arsenal, and saying, right, I want to be a part of that. But now, obviously, it's completely, it's après-moi the deluge, isn't it?
I think that relies a lot on the players as well, though. So, imagine having Virgil van Dijk being front and centre of, not necessarily your negotiations, but as your figurehead of your club. Right. I think stuff like that's really important.
Doing the minutes and the meeting.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be intriguing as to what happens, and of course, we will be doing a Ramble React after the game tonight. Right, everybody, before we go, this from Brazil. Romario has come out of retirement. The former Brazil striker is 58 and has registered to play for America Football Club alongside his son, Romarinho. He is the president of the club. Of course he is.
You didn't need to say that.
No.
I feel like that sentence said all we need to know about Romario's role in
Romarinho.
I love the idea of him coming out of retirement, given his capacity at the club. It's just him just filling the form in. It doesn't even tell anyone, does it? You can just do it himself.
No, it's him turning up with his boots.
I'm signing that off. Yeah, I'll sign that off myself. No worries.
He said he won't play in the league, but he wants to play alongside his son, which is lovely.
That's good of him, isn't it?
Sweet.
I won't play in the league.
Is it lovely, or is it basically casting asunder a presumably quite a storied and proud football club just so he can do something for his old
business?
His son's 33. Not like a man who needs supporting,
I guess. If his son retired before Romario came back out of retirement. I've seen America play. This was I saw them play in the Rio State Championships.
They're a really big club, aren't they?
No, they're not really big club. They're
he's not 33.
You're thinking
maybe
of Club America and Mexico.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. I am thinking of
yeah, that. Yeah, they're not a really big club. I mean, I think they're playing the second tier in Brazil, but I mean, you know, they're a club with a bit of history and you know, they're proud of what they've done and what they're doing. And yeah, I saw them play in the Rio State Championship. That was when I saw a guy dressed up as Batman running around the stands at the American Arm when I saw Club America play.
Romário de Souza Faria Filho is obviously Romarinho. It should be Romarinho, shouldn't it, really?
Romarinho.
He's 30, not 33, sorry. There were two different old players.
I'm glad you, because that would have been embarrassing.
We know the topic character Romario is. This whole thing just smacks of him being actually quite disappointed with his son's contribution to the game after what he achieved.
Like, yeah. I don't think that's
his son has scored 3 senior goals, according to Wikipedia.
As a forward.
He's hardly played.
I've got a feeling that whatever happens.
So he's going to play ahead of his son?
No, he's going to play with his son.
Yeah.
Right. So front two.
He's going to come on 70 minutes and he's going to request that he get subbed on for his son.
No, I don't think he is. I think they're going to play together and I think we can all agree that Romario will definitely score in this game. Yeah. And if he doesn't, then how come he did?
Yeah.
Whoa. There's a club called Novo Hamburgo. What? Don't let me hang myself, Luke. Help me out.
It's New Hamburg, I assume. That
it just looks like a new hamburger has come out.
The place in Germany.
Novo Hamburgo. I know. But what was that named? I'm hungry.
You don't know about New Mexico, New York, do you, and all these places?
But Mexico is not a food, is it?
The boss says a new hamburger is arriving.
It's in Porto Alegre.
I like Romarinho's... Wikipedia page says under personal life, Romarinho's father, Romario, is also a footballer.
Right.
Yeah. I'd say so.
Current.
That's fair. All right, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Patron subscribers, don't go anywhere. Keep listening for Ramble Uncut. And if you're not a Patron subscriber, sign up to get Ramble Uncut every single Wednesday. Head over to patreon.com/footballramble. And of course, you'll get exclusive Patreon pre-sale tickets to our live show. Follow us on X, TikTok, YouTube and Instagram at Football Ramble. And follow us on Spotify. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
And Yarmory.
Thank you, Vidusha Nahantharaja.
Thank you all.
And thank you, footballramblelive.com.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
That's the sound of another sale on Shopify in store. Shopify POS is everything you need to sell in person. From payments to inventory, Shopify unites your sales into one commerce platform. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/retail23. Shopify.com/retail23.